Glenn Louvins, how's he?
Training this morning, got through the full session, so touch wood, he'll be okay and he'll be available for Saturday.
That is good news. He's been an influential player for you recently.
Yeah, we've missed him. We've missed him, and valuable experience, good talker, good organiser, comfortable in possession. So fingers crossed he'll have no reaction.
In terms of any other injuries following on from the match the other night, how are you looking?
Apart from Semi, which is devastating news for Semi and devastating news for the club. But we've got Gary Gardner in on loan from Aston Villa. That was teed up anyway before Semi's injury. Quality player. I've seen a lot of him. He's trained with us this morning, so hopefully he'll come into contention as well on Saturday.
Effectively, I suppose, it looks as though he's been brought in as cover for Semedo. Is he a similar type of player, or does he offer something different?
No, different type of player. He's a goal-scoring midfield player, and this morning he's shown that quality in training. So fingers crossed he can take it into games as well for us.
To have a player who plays, I suppose, the Semedo role, the more defensive side of things, the more of the legwork and the tackling donkey work, if you like, who's going to step up and take over that mantle, if you like?
Well, any midfield, at the end of the day, midfield players are probably too good to play in the back four and not good enough to play up front. So a midfield job is to repair the damage and create things as such. But the most important thing, like I've always said, you defend with 11, you attack with 11. So whoever I put in there will no doubt do it. First and foremost, like you say, we're going to miss Semi. His application to the game, his professionalism to the game is fantastic.
Having had the shock, if you like, of picking up that injury, how is he? Have you spoken to him since the other day?
No, I haven't done it, because what's happened is he's had to go off for scans as well. It's a clean break as such, but we're just checking on the ligament damage as such. So he's been backwards and forwards having scans at the moment.
When do you expect him to be, you know, almost start moving again? What's the process now in many respects of his rehab?
I think the time scale, according to the physios, is going to be a minimum of 6 weeks and anything before that. But I think it will be 6 weeks plus, probably.
As you'd already identified Gardner, and that was on the agenda before you knew, obviously, about the injury, is there anything more with him then going forward? Is there a plan, if he does well, to keep him?
Well, the most important thing is, again, we're very grateful that Aston Villa have allowed him to come out and get some football in. We've got him in for 28 days. We've got quite a few games. But you never know what happens. It's the end of the day. He's not played much football for Villa. Like all our signings that we tend to bring in, we've got him fit playing him in games, and we've put him in the shop window as such. But he knows Bennick here as well. Benny was part of him coming here as well. He agreed to do it. But it's like any signings that you bring in, they don't tend to fall in the order that you want to come in. And people will probably think, well, Semi's got injured, that's the reason why. No, we were always trying to get Gary in. It was just a case of Aston Villa just giving us the permission to allow him to come to us.
And it's great that, I mean, obviously he's probably played more for the under-21s than Aston Villa, hasn't he? And that he's probably got greater international experience than club experience.
Well, that's where I spotted him from, because when I was doing some work for Stuart Pearce looking at the under-21s, quality midfield player who broke into Aston Villa's first team as such. He's got an elder brother playing up at Sunderland. So the pleasing thing is he's a quality player, quality midfield player that can get box to box and just gives us something a little bit different, because we probably haven't been getting enough goals from midfield. I'm probably putting a bit of pressure on him now to make sure he scores. Yeah.
We spoke after the Reading game, and you were in the midst of looking for another defender as opposed to Oshilaja as well. Mm. How's that search coming along? Is anything likely before the weekend?
Yeah, again, hopefully, by the time I finish dealing with you chaps, I'll have a message on my phone, hopefully, and hopefully we'll have one in for Saturday. But we're always looking to strengthen. I think we've got to make sure we carry on the momentum and the enthusiasm that we've got. And we've got to keep players on the toes as well by giving them a bit of competition as well.
You've signed in the last two loan players, two young players with a bit of something to prove from Premier League clubs. Would this additional player be in the same boat?
Yeah, mostly yes. The most important thing, I will only bring players at this football club that I feel are better than the ones that we've got. And what they will do, they'll probably bring up the standards and the quality and the training as well.
And would this additional loan that you're searching for be for a month? What scope do you have here left with that?
Well, it's, at the end of the day, it's down to the parent club whether they want him to come out for 28 days or to the end of the season. So, but it's just getting him through the door. I don't mind if I get him in for 28 days. And we can always add to that as such. As we've seen before with Connor Wickham, when they're not your players after that 28-day period, they've got a 24-hour recall on them.
It wouldn't be a press conference if we didn't ask you about the search for a striker. That's obviously hugely important. It's the thing that's on the fans' minds all the time. Is that likely before the weekend?
Yes. Again, we keep trying. And like I say, when it's like an emergency loan, you're always relying on the clubs that you're contacting. Haven't got any injuries, haven't got any suspensions, and you're hoping with your contacts and your friendships with managers that they're willing to let them out.
Because how high on your agenda, because obviously you've had to bring in players as cover recently because you've had a spate of injuries. To get that additional striker, how high on the agenda is it? How much of a priority is it right now?
Well, I'm a great believer in starting with two on the pitch and hopefully putting two on from the subs bench. What I'm asking to do is go week in, Atty at the moment, Bennick and probably Chris Maguire's playing down there. But we've got Antonio back, who I know can play down there as such. But competition is healthy, and what we need is to do is like I say, what we've achieved so far is build on that and carry on the momentum.
It can seem at times as broad as it is long, and I know it's only ever a phone call away, but have you been given any sort of indications as to how the club you're trying to tap up, if you like, for these players are getting along to get that one in?
Well, it's like anything. It's like us. We've lost Semi. Other teams lose players through injuries, or through either through the training or through matches. At the end of the day, you're just hoping that the players that we're contacting, that the managers are willing to let them come out because they haven't got any problems. And they have to weigh up things as such because they're going into a batch of games and they're just covering their own back to make sure they're not short as well.
Sheffield Wednesday, and they're by far from being the only club, have had to rely or bolster their squad with a high turnover of loan players over several years. Mm. As head coach, do you want to get off this particular gravy train so you're not losing somebody who could be really influential a month further down the line?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I would love to be sat here and say I've got 22 players. I could put two teams of 11 out, competition, two right backs, two left backs. But sometimes your budget or your squad doesn't allow that to happen. But again, then you pick up the injuries, you look and think, well, hang on a minute, I could put this player in this position. Suddenly we've lost Semi, and Semi could fill in at centre half as he showed at Reading. But suddenly we've lost him, so suddenly now you've got to think on a minute. The boy Deji's cup tied for this Saturday, so you haven't. It's a balancing act as such. But in an ideal world, I would love to have a Premier League squad where you're naming 25 players and be able to put two teams out.
Is that something in your forward planning? Because obviously you've got time and scope to do that now, to try and move on from all this, or for having the regularity of loan signings. Is that sort of into next season, you'll use less if you possibly can?
Hopefully. And it's what you got coming through as well at the development squad at this moment in time. Liam Palmer's come through the development squad. He's a local lad that enjoys pulling on the Sheffield Wednesday shirt. He's got pride because he spent his time here. Keelan Lavery as well. So the more we can develop as well. And I'm one for working with the lads, the younger lads, and try and fast-tracking them. And like I've proven at this moment in time, if they're good enough or young enough, they get their opportunity.
Is that something John Dean will help with and oversee? Is that part of his role then, if you like?
Well, John's role, obviously, John's was a top striker. He'll do some work with the forwards. But my energy, my strength needs to be on the training ground, improving individuals, improving the unit work, whether it be the keeper, the back four, midfield and forwards, and doing it collectively as well. So John's side will be dealing with probably the recruitment side, on dealing with the agents as such. But one thing we do know, we can't sit still. We're already planning for next season to think what areas that we need to strengthen. And like I say, we'll only bring players in that we think the better ones we've got.
Couple of other issues. There was some rumour yesterday about Stephen McPhail and Shamrock Rovers. Is he still a Wednesday player? What does the future hold for him?
No, Stephen. I've given Stephen permission to leave Sheffield Wednesday, and I think he's agreed a contract with Shamrock Rovers as well.
Thoughts behind that?
No, at the end of the day, I just again, it's worked for both parties. Stephen came in at the time. I just feel at this moment in time, it's probably the right thing for him to do as well.
If I can focus on. We've been addressing sort of strikers, haven't we? Atty Nuiu is a constant source of debate. What more does he need to do right now? How do you view his current input into the team?
Well, again, I can't fault his application. I can't fault his determination. The only thing that at the end of the day, people will judge him on his goals. And Atty's as disappointed as anybody else. He was devastated the other night that he's not converted the chance. But like I say, at the end of the day, that... His work rate for the team is closing down, has been fantastic. We've been 11 games unbeaten, and Atty's played a big part in that.
Does he lack a bit of confidence in the final third then, just because for various different reasons things haven't happened for him with his goals record?
Well, all forwards live on the goals, and like you say, that he's disappointed with his return of the goals as such. But one thing, like I say, the first and foremost is that if you fail on ability rather than lack of application. We didn't get it right in both boxes the other night. We had opportunities. I think Atty's had a chance, Afobe's had a chance. Suddenly then the quality of their finishing, the boy Maynard bump, we're chasing the game. So we had, most disappointing thing is, again, is the way we conceded the goal. So as I said the other night, we didn't get it right in both boxes, both attacking and defending. Between the boxes, I thought we did quite well. But it wasn't our night as such. But Atty's got to keep plugging away, and he's got to keep getting in them scoring positions. We've got to keep creating chances. I think Uwe Rosler went talking and saying when they played us previously, I think we're averaging about 5 shots a game. I think we had 20-odd shots at Reading. We're averaging double figures. So, like I say, Atty's got a part to play. Everybody's got a part to play. Whether it be defenders going up for set plays as such, we've all got to be contributing. And the pleasing thing is people kept saying about Connor, there's Connor, that we couldn't score without Connor. Well, we're winning games without Connor Wickham as well.
But you've highlighted, really, by bringing Gardner in, there is a need for others to contribute.
You've got to get goals from all over the pitch, as it's shown. The most important thing is getting that first goal. I felt we should have got that first goal against Wigan. We didn't. And then suddenly they just showed their little bit of quality.
So, Charlton then, in the FA Cup this weekend. Assess them as a challenge right now.
Big challenge. Chris Powell have them organised. They'll have 11 players that will be dreaming about the quarter final of the FA Cup, a bit like our lads. I said straight away after the game on Tuesday, that's gone now, and we've got to think forward and think. And I asked the question, has anybody been this far before in the FA Cup? And there's only Glenn Leuvens and Steve McPhail. So, a great challenge for the players. The big prize at the end of it, a quarter final place. But it's on our patch, and the most important thing is we've got to bounce back, get back on another good run, and hopefully get through to the next round.
Is this, I wonder, just to throw out a few clichés, lazy ones, a good time to play them? They can't buy a win at the moment. 6 games in the league without a win, lost the last 4.
Well, there's no points at stake, so they'll have a release. And it's a game for them that they can, all the pressure's off. They don't have to worry about Saturday night, where are we on the league table. No, like I say, it'll be a tough, tough game, this one, because the focus for them, and Chris will have them fired up. They're an honest, hard bunch working side. They'll close us down, they'll make it difficult for us. Whether they want to take us back to Charlton, I hope not, because the pitch isn't the best there as such. But the pleasing thing for us is our patch, and we had a difficult ties at Rochdale and Macclesfield. We came through that. Now we've got to put on a show for our fans as well.
I don't know, when Wednesday played at the Valley, you dominated that game, didn't you?
Yeah, but we came away with a draw. Again, it's a converting your chances, so maybe that's why I've got that midfield man in.
It's as a team then, why do you think they aren't necessarily able to fire on all cylinders? They seem, only from the outside looking in, they've had a lot of changes to their squad recently.
Well, I don't need to comment on Charlton. I'm not in charge of them. Chris will know what their strengths and weaknesses are. All I want to do is focus on us.
What would it mean then for Sheffield Wednesday then to make it through quarterfinals of the FA Cup? It's a hell of an achievement for a championship team to do these days, isn't it?
Well, again, as I've said before, if the draw can be kind, we've had Macclesfield away, which was a potential banana skin, Rochdale away, and then obviously we've got Charlton at home, and then you get through this tie, and then suddenly the fans can start dreaming, hopefully, about a semi-final appearance. You've got to, obviously, the draw has to be kind, and hopefully if we can get quarter-final, we can get through this tie and get a home draw as well.
What about you? I read the FA Cup has had mixed kind of memories for you in your playing career.
Yeah, again, I've never got to a quarter final, so always been brought up as a schoolboy watching it on a Saturday, watching the build up as such. Thoroughly enjoy the atmosphere. It's renowned for worldwide, is the FA Cup. So hopefully the players can get a bit further than I did in my playing career. But I've had some decent memories in the FA Cup, as you're playing in ties, but never got to the quarter final.
Scoring at Man United, that's not too bad. That's a very good memory.
Yeah. If I can think that far back, yeah. No, the pleasing thing was scoring against Schmeichel at Man United, and then I got to work with him at Aston Villa, and I just kept reminding him every time I put one past him.
Yeah. I can't imagine he enjoyed that banter.
No, he didn't, no. Peter doesn't, no.
So, I mean, this is one that all the fans have got behind as well. It's getting to the stage where, it's not as though the early round of the FA Cup have a lull, because it's always a great occasion. But when you kind of get to this stage, the intensity of it ratchets up quite a few notches, doesn't it?
Of course it does, because suddenly people start dreaming. And obviously, as you go further in the tide, the more media attention starts coming around. I think we've had Football Focus here today. We've got all these boys here today. Suddenly it becomes a big media thing. Because, again, the pleasing thing is I think last couple of years it's probably been at a bit of a lull as the cup managers have been criticised for playing weakened teams. But every game that I've been involved with, we've always put the strongest team out.